Jim, Ken, Kim, and Dan, all the three-letter names up there. Who else is here? What about Aaron? Did I miss Aaron? Yes. Thank you, Aaron. I thanked her earlier already. I begin a series on faith, a mini-series on faith that arises and follows the Love series. We spent 7 weeks on love, and the Connecting It With Faith series comes out of the last text of the Great Love chapter, where Paul says, three things will last forever, faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of these is love. So we've done the love series, and I hope that we're going to keep practicing that and reviewing that. And so if faith makes the top three themes, we better spend some time on faith, and we are going to. And hope makes the top three. Hope is one of the major themes of Advent. So we've got three Sundays before Advent. We're going to deal with faith, and then in Advent, we're going to cover faith. So we'll round out the year 2015 here at Coast Hills Church by reviewing the top three themes of the Christian faith of the New Testament according to the Apostle Paul. So I've been meditating on faith ever since we decided we would do this, and I'm excited and motivated by it, and I hope I can stir you to give attention and do a bit of a self-analysis. How are you doing in faith, and are you living by faith? I want to read two passages on faith. First of all, Colossians 2, 6 and 7, it says, and now just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. Let your roots grow down into him and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow in the truth you were taught and you will overflow with thankfulness. Then the Hebrews chapter 11. If 1 Corinthians 13 is a great love chapter, I would say Hebrews 11 is a great faith chapter. And here's how it starts. Faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about things we cannot see. Through faith, through their faith, the people in days of old earned a good reputation. By faith, we understand that the entire universe was formed at God's command, that what we now see did not come from anything that can be seen. It was by faith that Abel brought a more acceptable offering to God than Cain did. Abel's offering gave evidence that he was a righteous man, and God showed his approval of his gifts. Although Abel is long dead, he still speaks to us by his example of faith. It was by faith that Enoch was taken up to heaven without dying. He disappeared because God took him. For before he was taken up, he was known as a person who pleased God. And it is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who diligently seek him. Well, in my call to faith for you today, I'm answering two questions. It's like the Spirit guided me that we'd be kind of pressed for time, so only have a two-point sermon today rather than the usual three, four, five, or six, or whatever. So here's the two questions I want to answer. Finding faith. What are we looking for? In other words, defining it, kind of understanding what faith is, and then applying faith. What is a faith response? And what area of your life do you need faith right now? And I'll try to make it, cover a bit of a checklist for you so that we will leave here today having chosen faith. That's my prayer and my goal. So let's talk about finding faith. What are we looking for? The New Testament word faith translates the Greek word pistis. And the Strong's Expanded Dictionary of the Bible describes pistis this way. It says, pistis is used of belief with the predominant idea of trust or confidence, whether in God or in Christ. Faith means trust, confidence, assurance, and belief. So it's pretty basic. You can understand that. You can grasp that. I sometimes suffer from insomnia and lie awake at night. And so I have various strategies to kind of help put me back to sleep. Sometimes I prepare my sermons. And so you can see, well, that would be an easy way to put you back to sleep, wouldn't it? And sometimes it works. Sometimes I pray. All the prayer lists that God has for me. And sometimes I flip on the television. And in my old age, my favorite channels are the Weather Channel or the 24-hour news and business channels. And so about 6 weeks before I was going off to Phoenix, I had one of those nights. I flipped on the TV, and it landed on the Christian channel. Not only that, it landed on the program of my least liked TV evangelist, Kenneth Copeland. And I said, well, I'll see what Kenneth's saying. So Kenneth was interviewing a guy. He was interviewing Terry Law. I'd never heard of Terry Law. Well, it turns out Terry Law is a Canadian prairie boy, and I had that in common with him. And he told some stories on this as Kenneth Copeland is interviewing him. It just amazed me and wowed me. And at the end of the program, Kenneth Copeland holds up the book. He says, Storm Chaser, the Terry Law story. Well, my mind was made up. I said, I have to have that book. And so I got up early the next morning, went on the Kenneth Copeland website, and ordered the book, Storm Chaser, and I had to pay for it. It was like $15 or whatever. I felt a little bit guilty, you know, buying the book and ordering the book, because I kind of promised Diane that I wouldn't buy any more books, because we're on a major decluttering program in our house, and we got too many books already. And so on the other hand, I don't, you know, Diane could care less how many books I buy right now. See, that's one of the advantages of being a cancer patient. You can get almost anything you want. I'm trying not to take undue advantage of that. And that's why we were in Phoenix for 5 weeks. You know, not only can I buy as many books as I want, I can golf as much as I want. We were in Phoenix 5 weeks, I'm not trying not to take advantage of this Make-A-Wish Foundation journey I'm on. But in the 5 weeks, I only golfed 24 times. Really restraining myself. Anyway, what a wonderful wife I have. But I was saying, okay, how will I tell Diana? This is what I'll tell her. I said, Diana, I bought a book, but don't worry. It's not going to clutter the house, because after I've read it and used it for my sermon, I'm going to give the book away. And that really put a smile on her face. And so next week, I'm preaching on faith next week, God willing. And I'm going to tell some of the stories and hear some of the amazing stories. I'll reference them next week. And then at the end of it, we have a little contest. I'm going to give away the book, Storm Chaser, the Terry Law story. I haven't figured out exactly how I'm going to do this contest. But the only one thing I kind of disclose is, if to be in the contest, you have to put something in the offering box. Hey, that's how the TV guys do it. Anyway, the funny thing about my story with Kenneth Copeland, as far as I know, he's the only TV preacher that I have publicly rebuked from the pulpit as a heretic. And the reason why I was so riled up about him was his prosperity gospel. Now, I think his prosperity gospel is totally bogus. It is heretical, that part. But he is a man of faith and calls people to faith and salvation. So I probably underestimated all the good I did. But anyway, there's kind of a redemption story, me ordering the book, because now I'm on Kenneth Copeland's mailing list, and every week I get a package in the mail. And so we're real chummy now. the book has such amazing faith stories, miracles. I read the book and I asked myself, how come I don't have that kind of a story? What would I have to do to have God guiding and providing in those just amazing ways? What would I have to do? How come my story isn't like Terry Law's story? And I came up with an answer to that. The answer is, there are at least four components why my story is different than Terry Law's story. I don't know if we got our screen working or not, but I have those there's four factors that I wanted to throw out that I think have some, I'm not saying there's a comprehensive approach. Why is my story, why is how we experience God different between us? Some people experience God in this way, some have this set of miracles, and some have a different, it works differently. Well, four factors answer the question, why is my journey different than Terry Law's? Number one, there's a sovereignty of God factor. Secondly, there's a spiritual calling factor. Then there's the spiritual gifting factor. But last but not least, there's the faith factor. You know, the sovereignty of God, God assigns to us our station, our place, our family, and all those things of which we have, and that will determine how we experience Him. Then God calls us in a different way. Why am I standing up here today and you sitting down there? Has something to do with calling. God called me to be a pastor, and I responded to that call. So, and then there is this, the gifting factor, our abilities. God gives each one of us. And so the faith, finally there's an obedience and faith factor. You know, faith is the key that unlocks the blessing of all the other three. The sovereignty of God, your calling, what has God called you to? And God doesn't just call missionaries and pastors. He calls everybody to a task, an assignment. And your ability, your gifts, faith unfolds that. It opens that door for you to receive the full measure of blessing, of God's sovereignty, of God's calling, of God's anointing and gifting for you. And He wants us to experience that full measure. Well, I share that with you so that we will not make the mistake of whining, right? You know, I've been guilty of doing it myself. Sometimes I, you know, inwardly whined a little bit, you know. How come so-and-so, their church is growing like everything and I have to work and scramble to get a few people together? This is not fair. And I think I worked just as hard as the other guy did. Why? You see, so we can whine. Why is our experience? Why don't we get what somebody else did? Why is somebody else's marriage doing so great and we're struggling? All these comparisons. So here is kind of a helpful little grid. Next time you start whining or complaining or comparing yourself negatively, let's stop the comparisons. God has a separate path for each one of us. And God will give you grace and the faith. Respond in faith. It'll help you to make peace with that. We were in Phoenix for 5 Sundays. On 4 out of the 5 Sundays, I was in church. Diane scored a perfect 5 out of 5. And if you want to know why I missed that one Sunday, you can talk to me after the service and I'll explain it to you. But here's my exciting report on church in Phoenix. Every time I went to church, I experienced a blessing. And frankly, I was amazed at the level, the impact the sermons had on me every time. And going to church while I was on vacation helped me to realize that church is important. Church has potential. It made me believe in it. And it also realized that preaching is important. That God speaks through preaching of the word. And I was inspired by it. One of the preachers that I heard had this little illustration. He said he had been listening to a radio call-in program, and they were talking about extraterrestrial stuff. And a caller called in and gave his view of where the human race came from. He says there's some super intelligent creatures out there in outer space, and they designed the humans and they planted them on Earth to see how they would do. And then the radio host asked him, "Do you have any evidence for your theory?" And the guy replied, he says, "No, but this is what I believe." Aha. You know, there's some truth amidst the nonsense in that reply, right? This is what I choose to believe. Did I give you the correct quote there? This is what I choose to believe. You know, the point is all of us choose what we will believe. And somehow that gripped me in a new way. Why is my story different than In part, it is a choosing faith. Jesus said, according to your faith, be it unto you. And so the more faith we choose, the more blessing we will experience. God wants, what a responsibility for us to have to choose faith. And each one of us have that choice. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You hear the word of God, you're in touch with the word of God. That's why we have devotions daily. That's why we meet Sunday by Sunday. That's why we have life groups. It's to build our faith, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. And the more we put ourselves in touch with God, the more we will experience that blessing. We are looking for a new way of thinking. Faith involves thinking thoughts that are aligned with God's truths. So that's what faith is. This is a definition I have used for faith. Faith is a way of thinking about God and His Word. Thinking positively, confidently, expectantly, reverently about God and His plan. I heard Charles Stanley in his In Touch radio program this week, and he says, faith is the visualization of the things God has promised. So I want you to think of faith is a way of thinking. Who controls your thoughts? You do. So every one of us can choose faith in any moment of the day. A way of thinking. I want to drive that point home. Faith is a way of thinking. Don't think of faith as some kind of entity that you can insert, or you have it or you don't have. Faith is a way of thinking. I see that in Hebrews 1:11. It says, faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. Well, the confidence, isn't that a mindset? A way of thinking? Yes, it is. Faith is a way of thinking about creation. Hebrews 11:3. By faith, we understand the entire universe was formed by God's command. And so it's a way of thinking about the universe. Each one of us is responsible for our faith level. Each one of us chooses whether we'll have faith. Each one of us chooses how strong that faith will be, how much we'll let that faith shape us and control us and help us. Now, we can ignore it. A God, the God factor. But we will be losers in that process. Our life will be diminished. We'll miss out on blessing. God wants us to have faith. And so let's choose faith. So faith is a way of thinking. So thinking according to God, and when we're talking about spiritual faith, is thinking our thoughts, aligning our thoughts with the truths and promises and direction of God's word. Well, let's go to the last question I want to answer, and that is, what areas of my life need faith the most right now? Applying this faith to us. I guess one way would be to ask yourself, what's on your mind right now? Are there any special challenges in your life? What decisions are you facing? What worries you? What areas of your life are broken? What keeps you back from doing what you think God wants you to do? Those would be some of the priority tasks to apply faith thinking. And of course, faith thinking applies to all of life. I have learned to ask the question often of myself, what is a faith response to this situation, to this moment? And I love that question. And I hope that you will take that question with you today as you face a decision or a challenge. What is a faith response in this moment? And when I do that, and when I try to make the response that comes, the situation always improves. It always helps us. I want to share with you one example, one anecdote, kind of a dramatic one in my life. Diane and I were counseling a couple. They were friends of ours. And they ran into serious marital difficulty. And they had a family, and it seemed like the marriage was going to break up. And I remember this one day. I'm standing in the kitchen of that home. One of the spouses is there. Children are there. And you just feel the tension. It's like this something terrible is happening in this home. And I had spoken the words that I knew to say, and I stood there silent and I asked myself, what can I do? What can I say? What is a faith response in this moment? I looked at the kitchen, and on the kitchen counter, the dirty dishes and pots and pans were stacked high. And I had the idea, a faith response in this moment is to roll up my sleeve and go up and wash those dishes. And so I washed those dishes and I cleaned the counter. And as I'm washing the dishes, I'm praying. I said, Lord, have mercy. Bring healing. Restore on this family. Well, I prayed for in that situation and then left. I don't remember being thanked for my faith response of washing those dishes. That's not a big deal. But this is the happy response that I can give you, that God answered that prayer. God healed that marriage and restored happiness in an unbelievable way to that family. So from that story, from that, what is a faith response? I would want to illustrate, number one, a faith response always focuses on something I can do, not on what somebody else should do. If you're standing there, what is a faith response to this situation? Don't think about what other people should do for you. A faith response always says, what can I do? And don't overcomplicate it. Sometimes it's just a very small task. Don't over-spiritualize it. Just follow God's direction. And as we take time, the situation will always be improved when we follow and ask that question. So ask the question, what is a faith response to this situation? When something goes wrong, I was praying that right here early in the service. What is a faith response when the technology doesn't work? Or when the time doesn't quite work out? A faith response is just praise God. Praise you, Lord. It'll all work out. We're here worshiping God's people. And I hope I won't run too much over to what is a faith response if the pastor runs overtime? I'll plant that in your mind right now early. We're not overtime yet. We're not overtime yet. We're still well within the bounds. But just prepare you. What is a faith response? You see, a faith response when you feel hurt, when someone hurts you, what's a faith response? Well, a faith response, and that is, Lord God, you will give me grace. It's character building. And a faith response is, I'm going to keep on being kind, even when somebody says something nasty, or even though I feel hurt. I'm not going to. A faith response rules out giving up. It rules out despair. It rules out self-pity. It rules out self-loathing. It rules out retribution. It rules out holding grudges. That's what a faith response will do for us. It improves our life. You know, as I'm thinking about possibilities of a faith response, maybe some of you here need a faith response to your spiritual condition. Maybe you're just not very secure in your walk with Jesus. You don't even, you know, when someone talks about conversion or salvation, and you're thinking, I'm not sure I'm saved. It's possible. In fact, I would think it's highly likely that there might be someone that be in that category. So what is a faith response if that's how you feel? A faith response would be to say, do something about it. You know, you can go to the Bible text. What does the Bible say you have to be saved? Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. And claim the promises. Ephesians 2:8-9. For God saved you by his grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done. So none of us can take credit. Maybe a faith response is to go for prayer. At the end of the service today, I think there's some people that are going to be stationed for prayer. And maybe a faith response, but just go and don't be embarrassed by admitting your doubts. By the way, we got 3 sermons on faith. I'm speaking today about finding faith, answering 2 questions. Next week, I'm going to be speaking about the rewards of faith. And then the 3rd sermon, Kevin is going to give this sermon. He's going to, the doubt amidst faith, the value of doubt. I think that's how he shaped it. I don't know exactly what his sermon title is going. He's going to validate doubt amidst faith. So that's the three sermon series. Okay, a faith response. Just a few checklists here. A faith response to doubting your salvation. Go to the Bible. Get your Christian community to help you with it. And it's an easily solved problem. It is. Because it's just a matter of going to the Bible and claiming it and feeling the blessing. What about personal sins? Maybe you get tripped up with certain sins over and over again. What's a faith response to personal sins? A faith response to personal sins is, number one, never to give up the battle. Because all of us are on a journey, and it's a progressive thing, and none of us are going to be perfect. A faith response is, Lord, I'm not giving up. I'm claiming victory. And as often as I fail, I'm going to ask your forgiveness, and I know you will forgive. That's a faith response. And we keep journeying on. What about serious past mistakes? Maybe you messed up. And what's a faith response? If that always, whenever you want to do something and move forward, you're haunted by, if I only wouldn't have done that. A faith response is to do what God does. As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed your transgressions from you and remembers them no more. You if God isn't going to remember you, claim forgiveness, recognize that God does forgive. And on the personal sins, the other response on the personal sins that I want to emphasize is, don't define yourself or your spirituality by your failures. And I'm repeating myself here, but it's such an important thing. Define yourself and your relationship with God based on your positional righteousness. We are perfect in Christ. So you don't have to define yourself, but I have these. No, you're perfect. If God sees you as perfect, just claim that. And if you keep claiming that, that'll empower you to bring your experience into line with your position in Christ. And that's such a powerful thing. So, a faith response to your personal sins is to define yourself by your position in Christ. Maybe you need to apply faith in your relationships with in marriage or in your family, or there's a health issue. What is a faith thing? Don't give up. Don't despair. God is with you. I conclude with three faith-building verses. Colossians 2:10. So you also are complete through your union with Christ, who is the head of every ruler and authority. So that's one of the your identity issue. Romans 8:37. No, despite all these things, and he's listed a bunch of perils and problems, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Jesus Christ our Lord. We are more than conquerors. There is no condemnation. Philippians 4:13, I can do everything through Christ who gives me the strength. Faith thinking involves factoring these truths and all the other truths of Scriptures into our lives and into our thinking and into our actions. May God help us to grow in faith. Well, here I have a question. Kevin's out there with the youth. He suggested that we have a prayer time, and he was going, are some of you asked to be at a prayer station today? Well, not negative on Kevin. He's a good guy. I'm not calling him out publicly, but I just want to know where I'm at here with my clothes. I'll be here if you want to come for prayer on any of these things or anything else. I'd be happy to pray with you and choose faith. Come back next week. Tell you a couple stories about the amazing Terry Law story that comes from my friend Kenneth Copeland. Jim, you want to make your way up, and I'm going to pray. Lord, thank you that you call us to faith, and we thank you for the great blessings there are. Lord, help us to choose faith. Help us to understand and ask the question, what is a faith response to my situation right now? And we know that you will guide us and you will bless us through it. In Jesus' name, amen.